Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
Welcome to the house of God. Welcome to God's family. So, are we ready to get into the Word of God this morning? Okay, let's bow our heads. That's God's blessing. Father, I thank you. Just like we need to eat food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, we need to partake of your word. And I thank you that we have the privilege in this country, in this city, to sit under the teaching and preaching of your word with freedom. I pray that our spirits and our minds would be open to receive truth, truth that sets us free, truth that blesses our lives, and it reflects and brings glory back to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're going to go, we'll look at the screen this morning. This is our theme is Heart for the Home. And I preached on this message called His House is Our Home. So I've just kept that title theme. We'll just kind of keep it going through this morning. So in this series, hold on one second. Mouth is dry. Okay. So in this series, last week, I preached about His house being our home. God, in His goodness and in His love for us, give us this very beautiful gift called family, called home. But not only did He give us the gift of a family and a physical family and a home, He gave us, I believe, even a more beautiful, precious gift called the spiritual family, His house, His church. And He gave us this spiritual family for our health, for our relationships, for our protection, for our growth, for our provision, for our security, for joy, for life. He gave us all, He put that all into the home. The house of God. His house is our home. Amen? And in this place, in this home, we also find God's plan for us and God's purpose for us. It's all in the house, right? God didn't just make you to just exist. God's desire is not that you would just be, right? Not just be. Not just exist. Not just breathe and live like any other organism on the planet or any other person. God's design is that you belong, that you are accepted, that you have a part and you have a place in the house of God. Yes, and you have a purpose. God's design is that you belong. God's design is that your soul is the real you. Your outer body shell is going to disappear one day. It's breaking down at this very moment, right? But your soul is more alive than ever. God wants your soul to grow. He wants you to be soul satisfied. Soul to be satisfied. So, and it's satisfied by belonging, by believing, and by building God's church. Listen to what Ephesians chapter 2:19, the Apostle Paul said. That's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of, what's it called? Faith. Kingdom of faith. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. This is Message version. You belong here. You belong here. Say belong. Say with me, belong. You belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. Say believe. 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 God is building a home. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here and what He is building. Say build. Build. He used the apostles and prophets for the foundation. Now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day. A holy temple built by God, all of us built into it. A temple in which God is quite at home. Today I'm talking about belonging, believing, and building. Belonging, believing, and building. On your screen, to believe. Simple. To believe is to have faith in, is to have trust in, and is to be entrusted with. It's like Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:13. He said to Timothy, hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching you've learned from me, a pattern shaped by the faith and love that you have in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will be qualified to teach others. You see, believing is not just accepting something as being true. Believing is living with conviction, with persuasion, and is holding on to what you know and you believe is truth, and it's your strong opinion. See, you are literally entrusted with truth. Believing is saying, I believe. I believe, and as for me and my house, we believe. And we will pass it on to the next generation. In fact, we are so convinced that it's the truth that we will pass it on to the world. And nothing will stop us from passing it on. Matthew's Gospel 16, verse 13. It's the Passion Version here. It says, when Jesus came to Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples this question. Now notice, it doesn't say he asked the people who were gathered around him. He asked those who were the closest to him and had been walking for him consistently for a long time. And he asked his disciples this question. What are the people saying about me, the Son of Man? Who do they believe I am? They answered, some are convinced you are John the Baptizer. Others say you are Elijah reincarnated or Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But you, who do you say I am? Jesus asked. Simon Peter spoke up and said, you are the Anointed One, the Son of the Living God. And Jesus replied, you are favored and privileged, Simeon, son of Jonah. For you didn't discover this on your own, but my Father in heaven has supernaturally revealed it to you. I give you the name Peter, a stone. And this truth of who I am will be the bedrock foundation on which I will build my church, my legislative assembly. And the power of hell will not be able to overcome it. The church is awesome. The church is incredible. I will give you the keys of kingdoms, heaven realm, to forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven, and to release on earth that which is released in heaven. Something deep happens. Something supernatural happens to you when you believe. God loves you. He gives you an invitation to accept him. You do that. You believe. And you belong. Something happens. When you believe and you belong, you go from natural to supernatural. You go from being in darkness to going into light. You go from being weak to strong. You go from being fearful to courageous. You shift from the temporal to the eternal. in your mindset, your attitudes, your vision, and the purpose for your life, things begin to change when you believe. You got to believe. All these things happen because you understand. You have a revelation of who Christ is. And then you begin to understand who you are in relationship to Him and whose you are. Amen? It's truth. And it's by revelation of the Holy Spirit. On your PowerPoint, you can belong to a church before you believe. But when you believe, you take on a deeper belonging that satisfies your soul and literally releases you into what God created you to be and to become. John chapter 1, verse 10, the Apostle John said, He came into the very world He created, but the world didn't recognize Him. He came to His own people, and even they rejected Him. But to all who believed in Him and accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. God loves you. God accepts you. He went to the cross for you. When you believe and you accept Him, that's when a new life begins. And that's when you become, that's when you join the family of God. See, Peter comes to this place where he says to the Lord, I believe. And Jesus says to them, who do they say I am? Of course, they say, well, John the Baptist, Elijah, one of the prophets. But he says to them, who do you say I am? And Peter responds, well, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus then says to him, and you are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church. There are actually two meanings here. Two meanings on building on the rock of Christ. If you go back to that scripture we just read in Matthew 16, where Jesus says to Peter, I give you the name Peter, a stone, a rock. And this truth of who I am will be the bedrock foundation on which I will build my church. This truth of understanding who Jesus is the foundation on which the church will be built. The church is built on this understanding, on this revelation, on this truth of who Christ is. But not only that, it's also being built on the understanding that Peter had of his new name. It's built on Peter's new name. And what was he called? A rock. From reed to rock. Two truths, two revelations Jesus is talking about. If my church is going to be built, it's going to be built when my people have an understanding of who I am and when they get that revelation of who they are. Is that right? See, sometimes we kind of know who He is, but if we don't understand who He is, we'll never understand who we are. He says, you are Peter. You are no longer a reed, Simon. You are the rock. Right? And who doesn't want to be the rock? Right? Who doesn't want to be the rock? With that raised up eyebrow, like, how does he do that? Right? Everybody wants to be the rock. God says, you're no longer, I should have put up Pee Wee Herman. You see, you're no longer Pee Wee Herman. You're the rock. That's what God wants to tell you. You're the rock. You're the rock. You might not feel like you're the rock, but you're becoming the rock. Amen? When you get born again, you're not the rock automatically. You got to work out spiritually, become the rock. But God is a process. It starts it inside out. He invades your soul. It starts to take over. It's not about you trying so hard. It's all about just allowing the Holy Spirit to begin to work in you and to lead you and guide you and make you grow. So don't just be discouraged of where you are, and don't be discouraged of the place that your faith is in, at right now in this moment. Amen? Amen? It's in a process. And God is in the process. If he wants to make you grow, listen, he's going to make your faith grow. Peter gets this revelation. Peter gets a hold of a revelation, but the revelation hasn't quite yet gotten hold of him. See, this is Peter. This was Peter, who would later, after he said this, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is the Peter who would end up denying Jesus three times before the rooster crows. This is Peter who would make so many mistakes. This is Peter who would rebuke Jesus. And Jesus would have to tell him, get behind me, Satan. This is Peter who walked on water, but he suddenly sank. This is Peter who put up a sign and said, I'm going fishing. And he left his calling. This is Peter who was who wavered in his faith, who was up and down, off and on in his faith. But then this was Peter who would later join those who believed in Acts chapter 2. This is Peter in Acts chapter 2 who would stand up, preach the word of God, and the church would be built. Amen? This was Peter who belonged, who believed, and became a builder that God used to build his kingdom. The first time Jesus laid eyes on Peter, he already knew Peter was going to be a builder when he set his eyes on him. Amen? You come to this place in your life when you understand that God didn't just call you to belong. God didn't call you to believe. God called you to be a builder of his church. I say there are two pitfalls. First pitfall I see today, the pitfall, number one, the pitfall of belonging without believing. You can belong to a church without believing. So, you have all the hugs, you can have the handshakes, but without believing, you won't last. You won't be all that God has called you to be. So imagine living in your home with your kids and having no relationship with them. Imagine living in God's house, God's family, and having people living in his house, his family, and having him and them having no relationship with them. See, it's not enough just to belong. You got to believe, right? It doesn't last. There's no deep meaning. The second pitfall is this. There's a pitfall of believing without belonging. See, so many Christians, they say believe. They believe in Jesus, but they don't belong to a church. You can't serve Jesus and be indifferent towards what he loves, and he loves the church. It's like being an orphan. It's like being an orphan. You never get the father and the mother's blessing. You never get what you need out of the house because you're just an orphan. On your PowerPoint, believing without belonging means you have nowhere to build. Believing without belonging, you have nowhere to build. How will you ever feel significant? How will you ever get involved in God's plan for your life if you don't belong? It's not enough to believe and not belong. If you're a believer, you belong in God's house. God cannot use you if you're not part of his body. You're not a functioning part of a body. If you're a dismembered or a disconnected part of the body, he cannot use you. Amen? It's so simple. You need to belong and to believe. Belonging without believing means you have somewhere to go, but you have no deep motivation and purpose and fulfillment. You know, after I received Christ, almost immediately after believing, I belonged to a church. I belonged to this church. Had a different name before, but month after month, I believed and I belonged. I'd come to church every Sunday, twice every Sunday. You couldn't keep me away. But you know, but still I did not yet have a purpose to build. See, truthfully, my faith was 50% complete. Because it was all about me, belonging and believing. Right? And not much about what Jesus wanted to do, and that's build his church. The only thing that's in the Bible that says that Jesus is working on and building is his church. From cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Jesus. From cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation, it's all about his church. Until I finally got that revelation that God wanted to use me to build his church, it was always with them. W-I-I-F-M. What's in it for me? Right? So the question is, how come I never got that revelation right away? How come it took me so long to get that revelation? How come it takes people to get so long to get that revelation? Well, you know, Peter never got it right away. And his disciples never got it right away. They'd walked with Jesus for a long time. It was still all about them. You know, remember they were arguing, well, who's the greatest? It's about me. I'm the greatest. No, you're not the greatest. I'm the greatest. Well, who's going to sit beside Jesus on his throne in heaven? See, it was all about them. You know, I think some people never get it. You can listen to this whole series on belonging and believing and building and never get it. Brian Houston. Welcome back, Monica, from Australia. Brian Houston, you point to Hillsong Church. Pastor Brian Houston pastors a church in Australia called Hillsong Church, 28,000 members strong that meet on a Sunday morning. That church is bringing unity to the city, changing the nation. Brian Houston said these words, "The church is not built on the gifts and talents of a few, but on the sacrifices of many." Sacrifices of many. Yeah, sometimes you have to sacrifice to serve, right? Jesus loves the church. He gave his life for the church. He laid his life down for the church, right? He loves the church. Jesus is building this church. If you love Jesus, you love what he loves. And what does he love? The church. If you love Jesus, you're building what he's building. And he's building the church. Bill Hybels has a great church in Illinois called Willow Creek Church, 24,000 members in his church. Bill Hybels says the local church is the hope of the world. The church is the hope of the world. More and more as we get on into this decade, you're going to see more and more the local church is the only hope of the world. Kevin Gerald is one of the leaders I respect. He's got a great church called Champion Church in Tacoma. We've seen him in conferences in Red Deer. He has a conference called Team Church. And it just, when we go there, it just inspires us to see what the church can actually be. And Pastor Kevin said these words, "The church is the most inclusive place where we can belong and believe, and a place where we can be satisfied in building." Listen, the church is God's idea. The church is God's plan A, and he has no plan B, right? I want to skip the next couple of verses there. God cares about us, right? Would you agree that God cares about you? He cares about all your needs. He cares about your big needs. He cares about your little needs. He cares about, you know, the in-between needs. And we're always asking him for these needs, aren't you? Aren't we? I am. And I think it's good to be asking God because he wants to meet all our needs. But I believe as believers in Christ, we have to come to this place where we begin to ask God, what can we do for you? Amen? What can we do for you, God? What can we do for you, Jesus? You know what I believe would be the first response and answer that Christ would give us? I want you to believe in me. I want you to really believe in me. So the question, what happens when you really believe in Jesus? I see five, I'm going to give you five powerful things that happen when you really believe, and I'll go through these quickly. First of all, number one, when you really believe, your rights change. Your rights change. You go from being accepted to belonging. You become a child of the kingdom of God. You come out of the kingdom of darkness, you step across the line, you enter the kingdom of God. You go from being just on the fringes, you go to becoming family. Right? You become a child of God. You literally change. Your rights change because you're a child of God. Listen, if you're a member of my family, you're going to have special rights. If you're a grandchild, my grandson Mason, he's going to ask me things that I'm going to give him that I'm never going to give you. Right? Because I'm a child of God. Because he's my grandchild. Your rights change. Your privileges change. You belong to the kingdom of God. You step across the line. You're no longer just looking in. You're not just looking in. You belong. You're part of the kingdom. You're part of the family. You're born of the Spirit. You're born of water and the Spirit. And you're all in. You are 100% in. Amen? Your rights change. Number two, your nature changes. Your nature changes. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he becomes a new creation. The old begins to pass away. The new starts to take over. Amen? Your nature changes. Before, you believed. You were subject to your old nature, your sinful nature. Now you can put on the nature of Christ, right? You are not under Adam. You are now under Christ. You are no longer a carnal man. You're becoming a spiritual man. Your nature changes. Who you are changes. I say even your personality changes. Everything about you begins to change. Attitudes, the way you think, the choices you make, you change. Amen? Your personality changes. I'm a great attestation to that. I was a loner. I was not a people person. I was unfriendly. I was selfish, inward. And then I got born again. And God started to change me. All of a sudden, it wasn't all about me. I started looking at other people. And I began to want and desire and started to enjoy connecting with people in a way that I never did before because God was changing me from the inside out. Amen? You change. Your nature changes. Number three, your name changes. Your name changes. You've been given the name of all names. And that name is Christian, which means Christ-like ones. We share in the name above all names. It's like in a marriage or an adoption. There's a change of name, right? You are now a carrier of the name of Christ, right? You live, you breathe, you speak, and you think Jesus. Why? Because you are a child of his. You are a child of the living God. Like father, like daughter. Like father, like son. Your name changes. You are now a child of the living God. You are a Christian. Number four, your desires change. Your deepest desires change. Your deepest desire is to please God. Your deepest desire is to be significant. Your desire to be significant suddenly takes a leap. Your desire to be used by God starts to kick into your heart and into your spirit. Your desires go from self-centered to Christ-centered. And instead of building your own home, you want to build his home first. Amen? Your desires, your rights change, your nature changes, your name changes, your desires changes, and the bottom line is, everything changes. Everything changes. You see, I think the biggest battle that we have in serving God is believing. The battle is in the believing. Isn't that right? The battle is in the believing. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 4 says, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. How many can relate to that? Come on. Isn't that right? It's under pressure that your faith life is forced into the open and it shows your true colors, right? You know, I'm supposed to be a man of faith and power. Be honest with you, sometimes when it comes to faith, I feel like more like I'm a man of paste and flour. Isn't that right? Don't you feel that way? I thought, God is saying, where is your faith, man? Where is your faith? And that's what James is saying here. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. These tests, these challenges, these trials, God is allowing to come into your life. They're to test your faith. They're to show who you really are and what you really believe in, right? He says, so don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. Wow, God is trying to do something. He's trying to build your faith, trying to make you more like Christ. And he never gives up doing it, right? He wants to build you your faith. He wants to take you from being a reed to a rock. Amen? You believe in Christ, right? Yes. You believe that he died. You believe that he rose again. And you believe that he's coming back. You believe for the future, for your future. You're exercising your faith. You have faith to believe for healings. You have faith to believe for miracles. And like Peter, you have faith to go ahead in your life. Amen? You have faith to be, not just to belong and to believe, but you have faith to build the kingdom of God to the church. Amen? That's who you are. You're a builder. You don't just believe and belong. You're called to build his house. You go from reed to rock. That's you. Listen, despite the adversities, despite the setbacks, despite the trials and the trouble and the disappointments that you've gone through, 1 Peter 1 verse 7, these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in what? Praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed in your life and through your life. Amen? Amen? Through a changed life, God is changing your life. You have faith to move forward. The question that God, I believe, would ask today is, do you have faith? Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe in Christ? Do you believe in Jesus? Right? Do you believe in the church? Do you believe? Can you imagine what would happen if all of us believed and belonged and built his church? What would happen? Can you imagine what would happen if we all did that together? See, I believe that God is on the move. God is on the move. We're not waiting for the move of God. We are the move of God. God is waiting. He's waiting and ready to move. If we will just move and believe him. Amen? He is. We don't have to wait for the move of God. We are the move of God. Can you say that? Let's say that. We are the move of God. Use us in anything you want to do on this earth. In Jesus' name. Will someone say amen?
Amen.
Someone shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bow your heads. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You know, salvation is the greatest, greatest gift that you could ever receive on this earth. There is no salvation apart from Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Salvation is receiving and believing in what Christ did for us on the throne. He died on the cross to forgive you of all your sins and to give you a life far beyond what you ever imagined. It's called eternal life in heaven. But not only that, it starts right now today, an abundant life today of significance, peace, protection, safety, not without struggle, not without trials, but the greatest life you'll ever live when you're living your life for Christ. By believing him, receiving him into your heart, you will be saved, receive the gift of eternal life. But without that, you'll be going to a desperate place. If that's you, today you're here, you need to be saved from hell, you need to be saved from your sins, you need to be saved from eternal death in this place called hell, then you need to receive Christ today. And if you want to have a brand new start, start living, not just for yourself, start living for God, start living for Jesus, you have that opportunity today. And I tell you, I promise you have way more meaning, you have more, way more passion when you get up the very next morning. If that's you, and you need Christ in your life, you never invited him into your life, I want you to say this prayer after me. Are you ready? In fact, I want all of us to repeat this prayer together, all right? Say this simple prayer. I promise thee, everything will begin to change in your life. Let's say this prayer out loud. Let's say this to Christ. Dear Jesus, please forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died. I believe you shed your blood to pay for all my sins. Today I invite you and I receive you into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life. And I commit to live the rest of my life for you and for your purposes. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Now, I'm going to ask you, if you said that for the very first time, will you please lift up your hand and wave it to me? If you received Christ today, you invited him into your heart for the very first time, I want you to acknowledge that and not to be ashamed of Christ, because he certainly wasn't ashamed of you when he died on the cross for you. Amen? Anyone here, raise your hand. Receive Christ? Thank you, Father. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the challenge that we've received, Lord, today of believing in you and trusting you no matter what we're going through right now. God, you are so much greater than these things. Father, you're the God that literally can calm the storms of every single person and every single person's life right now in Jesus' name. I want to bow our heads. I want to pray for people who are going through a tremendous storm and trial right now. I want to pray for those people in Humboldt, Saskatchewan. Father, you're the God of all comfort, and you're the God of the healing, the healer of our souls. And Father, we know what those 16 families are going through right now, the loss of their sons. We know what that community is going through, grieving for their loved ones. And they're coming together as a community. Father, may they come together through Christ. May your Holy Spirit brood over that community. May it brood over every family member. May it bring comfort to their loss. Bring peace to their soul. Lord, will it bring a sense of security? Let it bring, Lord, a healing for the sorrow. Father, we lift them up before your throne. We continue to pray for them. Father, we ask you to heal them. We don't understand,